you wake in a strange room. Your clothes are foreign, and the walls are covered in objects from a different world. You don't know where or when you are, or if you're still dreaming. There are footsteps in the hall. Jumping up, you race out of the room and into the streets. You have just entered the Twilight Histories.
Welcome to the Twilight Histories, audio fiction that casts you as the hero. You are about to pass into an alternate universe. It may be strange, fascinating, and perhaps terrifying. To survive, you can't just be a tourist. You must become the people you explore. This is your adventure. Today, you're going to travel to the Black Sea at the end of World War II, when the Germans and their friends were in full retreat. As always, this show was only made possible by the generous contributions of our Patreon community. If you want to become a patron of the Twilight Histories, please visit the website at twilighthistories.com and follow the link to the page. We really appreciate your generous support through Patreon. And now, Black Sea by Tristan Verboven.
Do you know why they call it the Black Sea?
You put the binoculars down for a moment, and the skipper keeps his eyes on the horizon.
The fish. They only live at the surface. From the rivers, from the estuaries. And when they die, they sink for miles into cold darkness where there is no life.
You take another look, keeping your eyes on the convoy in the wake of the Regele Ferdinand ahead, a Romanian destroyer pressed into Axis ranks.
This route between Constanta and Sevastopol is as old as ancient Greece. Even the Phoenicians sailed it, and it is lined with a trail of wrecks. And the men who went down with these boats, they lay there as they did the day they sank. And when the Black Sea takes you, you drown and drown and drown for miles. Hours, days, and when you come to rest on the silt, there is no light, no oxygen, nothing to devour your body, no way to give up your ghost. And there you'll sit, with the face you had at your death, in the cold, empty darkness, for eternity.
You chuckle uneasily. An old salty tale, but not for him, nor for the men who live these waters. You've only been sailing for 3 days, enough to get your sea legs and to learn her rhythm, and to keep your bead on the horizon as she sways. But it's just you and the skipper and the view over the capstan. Radio silence, semaphore by day, and a keen eye on the single bulb swinging in the wheelhouse by night. When you signed up for this adventure, you asked to be part of a sea rescue mission. This is not necessarily what you had in mind, though. In a Romanian tug on high seas in 1944, helping the Germans escape from Crimea. Anyway, they say this is the last convoy. They took every boat they could muster out of the port of Constanta. A couple of small German destroyers, and the rest Romanian ships. Enough for 10,000 men at least. Not enough by far. But we'll do our best. She is the Selina. A small tender with no business this far out, but small enough for a crew of two to get to Sevastopol and back. Finicky without ballast, but her decks could hold at least 300 souls if they stand. If the Red Army will let us. Looking at the skipper, he clearly didn't sign up for this mission either. So he keeps the helm while you keep watch. Just get in and get out, and try to get through this thing alive. Close enough now to make out the shoreline. 6 miles out, safely within the harbor defenses. Safe. Safe from subs, at least, but well in range of Soviet guns. The light. It's perfect. The sun creeps to the horizon behind you, putting a magic light on the city aflame. An inferno. The sky above crackles with flak fire, and from the hills, cannon and mortar. Tracers thrash a smoking mound with a dragon's whip. The pulsating engine pushes you closer. We are joined on the bridge by our passenger, a young German, Lance Corporal Platz, a panzer man, 7th Division, boarded with 2 enlisted men who stay below, one too old to be there, the other too young. You look his uniform up and down through the corner of your eye. A real-life Nazi. And by the looks of it, not just a young man caught up in this thing. The real deal. A heel-clicking, goose-stepping undertaker. Exactly the kind of moral fiber Germany needs at this stage in the game. It's 1944 on the Eastern Front. The worst place in the world to be, in any army, at any time. And with the Army Group South on its back foot, it's hard to imagine why these Romanians are still on the wrong side. He takes turns through the binoculars at the symphony of violence. A valiant show of strength, he beams, boasting enemy forces twice their size. He speaks into the glasses, taking no notice of the skipper's look. He's disappointed that Field Marshal Jenecke is ordering a fighting retreat, especially after the Fuhrer ordered Sevastopol to be defended to the man. But he shrugs. Best to make the most of it, he says. This is all a tactic, he says. Drawing the Red Army away from Bessarabia. Crimea is no longer strategic, but some of the specialized men can still be moved to the front. The 4th Ukrainian Red Army has already taken back the main port, so we head to Kherson, an industrial port just south of the city, where the German 17th Army and the Romanian Mountain Corps are making their last stand. Creeping into range, we ignore the splash of defensive fire and stay in the train. And while the bigger boats keep their distance, our craft has a keel small enough to reach the shores. The sound of floating debris clunks against the hull. Soon we can see the desperate souls clinging to the shore, some of them braving the water in tiny crafts. We also now have the attention of Soviet dive bombers. And without a Luftwaffe 109 to say otherwise, they rain down on us mercilessly. Delighting in the turmoil, Platz orders the skipper to reach the harbor as the gunship draws fire. The bay is surrounded by shipping docks and industry, being pounded by Ukrainian mortar. The sight and sound of desperate souls is jarring. Soldiers barely hold back the crowd as you toss the bow line. Injured soldiers, civilians, women, children, some of them now braving the water as your craft appears. You jump off and pull the boat to the dock. The skipper expertly throws the throttle. With his 2 soldiers, Platz steps over the gunwales to the boat slip, barking orders to the uniformed backs holding the mob. He flashes paper orders to whoever seems to be in charge, his voice drowned out by crackle and bang. Into the crowd, He calls forth a dozen women. Only ones with children, he says. And pointing them out one by one, the uniforms clear a path with their rifle butts. And he quickly orders them aboard, lining them up on display between the funnel and the winch, motioning them to hold their babies before them. Having the women on deck does not dissuade the bombers as planned, and in horror one of them is blown into the water by sweeping gunfire. In the meantime, Pletz has found what he's really looking for. From the sea of faces and shoulder patches, a few dozen tank and artillery men, and as many able-bodied mechanical corps as he can see, the rest find a rifle stock to the face as they try to push through, and these men are hurried aboard. The women and children are pushed back to the pier, screaming, clearing room for more men till the lower decks are teeming. Pletz is last to board as he pulls the mooring line off the cleat hitch with a snap. One of the women, an older Ukrainian, one arm clutching a child to her chest, points her fearless finger in the young officer's face.
Ану пішло звідси, чорти рогаті, щоб вас Симура проковтнуло.
Pletz simply unbuttons the holster in his belt. Just enough time for you to avert your eyes, wincing to the unmistakable sound of his Walther P-38. When you look again, his face is icy determination, relishing in the chaos. The skipper waits barely the time for his foot to meet the deck and fires the throttle to surging cries. With the last 7 rounds in his magazine, the young officer picks off stragglers climbing the tire fenders, the rest finding his boot. But it's not over yet. Another sweep from the air sends the deck into panic. Roaring engines and screams muffled into the wake, the harbor shrinks away. Our bow blowing aside bobbing bodies, whiz-bangs missing our decks by inches. The skipper steers the craft towards the train of wake headed west. We take position behind the Gigulescu, a Romanian anti-submarine boat, full steam into open water. Before long, we pass a buoy marking the end of the defensive mines. Looking out over the stern, a distant horizon in flames, a smoldering cauldron, glowing, nestled against the black hills. But passing that buoy presents a whole new danger. The Black Sea, the one the skipper warned us about, a sea that plunges to unfathomable depths, where hunter preys. Soviet submarines, and without any U-boats to keep them at bay, and only the moonlight to guide the way, 300 huddled souls brace themselves on a windy deck, hoping their luck has not run out. Your glass never stops scanning the choppy caps. Anything, a glimpse of periscope, catching a ray of moonlight, a trail of torpedo. Yes, the kiss-off, the final parting love letter from the People's Navy. Or are they just gonna let us go? Then it happens. A crack, then a boom. A big one, 5 nautical miles up. One of the German tankers, sending the giant ship on a lilt. The Gigulescu goes into action, launching a volley of depth charges. The first few explode just below the surface, causing our boat to shake, covering us with spray. The others come up as deep thuds, finding the surface moments later in mounds of foam and wake. Then another round. Engines off. Pletz raises his hand to order silence as the men squat in huddles on the deck. Just the splashing of waves against the hull now. This time, deep, muffled bangs. Then more bubbles rising to the surface. More bubbles. Then more and more. Until the entire surface of the sea comes up like freshly poured seltzer, churning a mile wide, hissing like a million demons. what is going on, you look out at the convoy. The Gigalescu is awash, its stern slowly sinking into the foam, its bow rising above the surface, then bubbling under. The boat ahead of it, too, its masthead listing into the bubbles. Looking down on the decks, now your cargo of lost souls is ankle deep in the swill. The waves lap up at them, pulling them one by one to the dark waters. And Pletz, desperately shouting orders left and right, his pistol waving, the bow is slowly caving into the swill, the water's edge creeping and gobbling souls as it tilts. The men scramble to stay afloat. The last you see of them, their hands reaching up in uniformed cuffs, plunging as if their ankles were weighed with lead. Swallowed whole into the fizzy maw. Their screams choked, hopelessly flailing. Down, down they go. Into the black. Into the deep. And there they will sink. Deeper and deeper, miles and miles, hours and days, until they rest upon the sandy bottom, a desert under the sea, in the darkness, in the silence, their faces, their souls. Trapped for eternity.
That was Black Sea by Tristan Verboven. If you're a fan of the Twilight Histories, consider making it official by becoming a patron of the show. When you join us on Patreon, you'll get instant access to tons of Twilight History shows not available to the public, such as bonus shows that expand on some of the worlds you explore in these stories, and you'll even get an entire secret podcast I created but never launched called The Dark Histories. If you stick around as our patron for 3 months, we'll send you amazing merchandise as a reward, such as Twilight Histories mugs, shirts, stickers, or a hoodie. But really, the real reason to support us is that you love the Twilight Histories and you want to see us grow. You support your favorite craft brewery because you love their beer and you want to see their company succeed. Well, the Twilight Histories is a craft podcast, and we need your help and support to keep us growing. To join, go to the website at twilighthistories.com and follow the link to our Patreon page. Or go directly to Patreon and look us up. We're the Twilight Histories. I'm Jordan Harbour. Thanks for listening to the Twilight Histories. Till next time, take care.